All right. Hi, everyone. This is Samantha Gregory with RichSingleMama.com, and welcome to Rich Single Mama TV. We are entering our new season, and I'm excited to have our first guest, Mariana Silva. She is here to share with you how she balances motherhood and babies, really, business as well. So, Mariana, thank you so much for being here, and tell me who you are and a little bit about your single mom journey.
Okay. Thank you for having me, first of all. And like I said, this is not normally how I do interviews. This is very new for me, but I'm in the middle of baking, which is also not my strong suit either. And I have a little bit of a noise in the background. But my journey, I got divorced last year, but I've been separated for about 3.5 years now. Mm-hmm. And my journey to single parenthood was actually through domestic violence. Mm. And in the meantime, for the past 5 years, I became an entrepreneur and a children's book author. So that was my journey to business, is that I wrote a children's book in 2013. And I decided that, you know, I didn't want to just do something small, I guess. So I decided to release in both my countries, here in the US and in Brazil, at the same time, because, I mean, it was such an easy task.
Okay.
To do as an independent author. So it was quite challenging. I definitely had no idea what I was doing and what challenge was awaiting me to try to publish a book, especially a children's book, on my own and in two different countries, in two different languages.
Wow.
So I did that in 2013, and then I got invited to participate in the largest book fairs in Brazil, and that's kind of how I did the release of my book in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So I traveled to Brazil, did a little bit of a tour, but meanwhile, arranging everything and baby on tow. My daughter was almost 3 at the time. She was two at the time. And that's just how I did. Put her in an airplane and off home we went and did the tour and traveled here as well. And then when I came back, I got involved with, I got involved with, doing more publishing stuff, but then I changed gears into luxury, and I got involved into a startup luxury magazine out in Europe, even though I was living here in the US, and that didn't work out. And I said, you know what? Why don't I do it myself? I think I can do it a better job than what they're doing right now, so I'm going to do it myself. Again, one of those naive ideas that was going to be so easy, you know, they can't do it, then I'm going to just take charge and do it myself.
Right.
And that's what I did. And I, you know, it was very challenging, but it was so rewarding. I actually got to put everything together, did a business plan, found a partner. And from there, we decided to do the mock-ups, really test the concept and go into full startup mode. Then from there, we found an investor. And we had it was my first experience having an angel investor, which was amazing.
Wow.
And this person was from the luxury industry. Mm-hmm. And we got an investment for $100,000 to get the business going, which was incredible. But then we, you know, faced with a lot of the challenges from the industry itself. What I developed was a digital platform, interactive platform, that was a magazine. So everything that you read or saw in the magazine, you could interact with it, whether it was to shop whatever was in the page of the magazine, or if we're doing an article about a restaurant, you could click a button and make reservations for that restaurant that you were reading about, whether it was buying a bottle of wine, test driving a car. Everything was very interactive. You could do without leaving the pages of the magazine. So basically everything at your fingertips. What we experienced was that was maybe a little bit too early. Mm-hmm. We were too ahead of the curve for the market. Mm-hmm. So a little over a year and a half, we closed. But the experience of having done that and just being able to go to work on your fears and go through the taking the challenge and really put your feet down and say, I'm going to do this and take the chance. You know, when somebody, it's all exciting when somebody says, oh, you're going to get an investor, you're going to get money. On the phone. You're going to get money. But then when somebody actually gives you money, you're like, oh my God, what if I lose it all? Like, what do I do with this? This is such a big responsibility. And then you have a staff, you know, and you have people working for you. And it can be very scary because now people are depending on you and you're doing all this thing. So it's not just the business and it becomes so much more.
Right.
But the rewards are just so amazing. Even when things don't necessarily work out, the reward of doing that. And mm-hmm. I think psychologically, especially for single moms or anybody that came from where I come from, my situation, which was, you know, I was leaving a domestic violence marriage of 11 years. Mm-hmm. And I jumped right into that. You know, after that experience, it was pretty much there was nothing I could undo. If I could leave that bad situation and have somebody to hand me $100,000, I can do anything.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I will survive. I will be okay. Even if things don't work out, if I don't become a millionaire tomorrow, mm-hmm. I'll be okay because I know I can do it.
Yeah.
And I think that was for me the biggest takeaway, even when the company closed, mm-hmm. Was to not worry. I knew everything would be okay. The next one was right around the corner and we're just going to keep moving and keep doing things and managing and baking bread while you're thinking about the next startup. And that's how I do it.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, with your situation with getting a divorce and having business, how did you manage through that period of time with, you know, ending the relationship, continuing with your business, as well as taking care of your daughter?
One day at a time. There was no plan. There was no superhero cape. There was none of that. It was literally work during the day, cry at night, dry your tears, rinse it off, and do it all over again the next day until we figured out what works. But it was tough. And then in the meantime, not only I started that business, mm-hmm. I also got a scholarship to get my MBA all at the same time.
Wow.
So I said that there was no way I could do that. There was absolutely no way. And then I really prayed about it. And that was something that I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it kind of landed on my lap. So I was like, no, if it is landing on my lap, it's for a reason.
Right.
I got to think of it. So I live in Massachusetts. My MBA was in D.C. So I was commuting every weekend from Mass to D.C.
Wow.
So while launching a business and leaving an abusive marriage. So it was, there was no balance. It was, I think the word that I like to use is integration.
I
don't
like
believe in balance. I believe in integration. Because I think balance, it really takes from measuring or taking from a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and putting that all together. There is no measurement. There's no way to balance things because every day mm-hmm. is different. Every circumstance is different. Everything's changing. Every season is different. And you need to be able to adjust and mold and keep changing. So it's about integrating. One day was all about school and studying. Another day was about bringing her with me to D.C. because her father wouldn't keep her on the weekends. And mm-hmm. then I had to go and try to make that work. And while I was making that work, the business, I could not even touch my computer to do any business because that was just, it was just impossible. Right. So that's why I think balance is such a word that I think there's more damage than good when mm-hmm. I'm talking about single moms and business, because there is no balance. Like my kid's just running around here and being the rudest I've ever seen her in my entire life. While I'm trying to do this, while I'm baking bread and doing an interview, knowing that I still have to launch my website tonight at 10 o'clock at night. So I can't touch my computer and bake bread at the same time. So I'm integrating everything as part of it. And you just put everything on this big pot and you stir it. And one day it's going to come out. Every day is a different flavor.
Right. And that's such a great word. It's such a smart word, because I know I dealt with that myself and raising two kids and going to school and being going to work and trying to do my blog and starting a business and all that. You know, it does take certain, you have to focus your energy in certain places, you know, with the kids still in the back of your mind, because they still need, you know, continuous mm-hmm. care. But part of that for me was teaching them to be more independent as well as they grew older. So I love the word integration. I really think that is a very smart word for single moms, especially those who are feeling overwhelmed, because at some point the overwhelm, you can allow it to consume you, or you can make it work for you, you know?
Yes.
So great word. I love that. So you told me about your, you know, being a single mom. So you have the one daughter, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
How old is she?
She just turned 7 on Tuesday.
Okay. Oh, happy belated birthday. Yeah. So, and I think, so tell me about what made you decide to go into business. Was it really from the children's book launch that kind of propelled you into that direction?
I took classes in when I was going to college into entrepreneurship. That was something that I always was always in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. And when I first came to the U.S., I came as an exchange student. And once I went back home, I opened a small video store.
Okay.
So that was already something that I always wanted to do. I just didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I always dream of having the big office overseeing the ocean. Now, it hasn't happened yet. Now I have my office overseeing my laundry. Mm-hmm. But someday it will change.
You got to start somewhere.
Exactly. So I think I always had that in the back of my mind. I just never knew. For one, I never knew it was possible that I could do it. And two, I never knew what I wanted to do. And even to this day, like I'm doing a third business. I'm ready to launch my second startup at the end of the year. I have a friend of mine who just called me the other day. We were talking till 1 o'clock in the morning, and we came up with another startup, and I had to put the brakes on. Like, listen,
yes,
I have two websites launching right now. I am working on this second startup that I've been working on for 2 years now. And I got to make sure things are buttoned up before I can even jump into something else, because the way that I am, and I think integration can kind of be dangerous, because you get so used to not have things in the order mm-hmm. that everything is just put into this spot that you just think that, you know, okay, I can do one more thing. And then right. You're completely run down and overwhelmed. So I'm conscious now to not get to that point.
Sure.
But I don't know exactly what propelled me to do. I think the children's book was definitely the opening. Like, it took me 10 months through the process of doing the book and then finding a printing company and understanding how independent publishing would work. Mm-hmm. Once I did, was ready to publish, Barnes & Nobles wanted to put the book on their stores. Mm-hmm. I have it on Amazon. And it then just became, it could have been more successful if I had more money and more understanding of what I was doing. Because I think, you know, once you get the letter in the mail from Barnes & Noble saying, we saw your book and we'd like to have it in all of our stores. And we're like, yes, that's great. Like, here's the price of my book. And they're like, no, you pay. You make the books, put it here, and then we pay you once we sell it. And it's like, oh, right. Okay, that's right. Not going to work.
Exactly. So with your, what would you tell a single mother who is dealing with the end of a relationship and raising a child, but they still have this itch, this urge to start a business, be an entrepreneur? What would you tell them? How to even begin?
From my experience, I'm not going to go with the cliche. You know, I want to so bad to just go with the cliche of, you know, you're going to do it. Just do it. And, you know, don't stop at any cost. Although that is correct. Mm-hmm. I truly believe and understand now in validating your feelings and being very aware of your emotions and where you are emotionally, because building a business and running a business, it's going to take a toll on you, mm-hmm. and you can have all the money invested into your business, like I did. I got an investor, $100,000. Who don't want $100,000? I know some people who probably are going to be watching this right now and saying, oh my God, if I had somebody give me $100,000, I would have turned that into $1,000,000. What is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what was wrong with me. I was not in a good place mentally because I was just leaving a relationship that was an abusive relationship, and I had to, and I was married for 11 years. I got married at 21 years old in a different country, and I had to relearn or learn how to do everything on my own once I got divorced, almost in my 30s, to how to just navigate it, even though I was living here for, you know, 11, 12 years.
Right.
How do you think you can run a business to get to that $1 million, $2 million when your own foundation internally, you are completely struggling? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't work. It doesn't work to try to scale and rush things. That's what I mean. But by all means, start. But once you need, but when you feel like you need to stop and take a break and take a breather and just take a walk, take a Wednesday, just take a walk and do nothing and just validate your feelings, do that. Do that, because otherwise your business will suffer. You will suffer because you're going to be feeling guilty that you're not giving the attention to your children. And you're also not going to be able to give the attention to your business. And you are going to run dry. So take the time to validate your feelings when you need to.
Right.
Awesome. That's what I would say. Start it, but don't ignore them. Don't ignore those feelings and take care of yourself. Because it's going to get darker before it gets brighter.
Right. Sure. So
and you need to be ready.
Yeah, absolutely great advice. That is so on key, because having your mind right will help everything else kind of flow into place. That doesn't mean you won't have challenges, but it means that you'll be able to be more equipped to handle those challenges, and it won't crush you because you have all these other emotions and feelings and unresolved issues in the back of your mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how do you... did you have a lot of support when you were starting your business?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. I think for me, the biggest challenge is to not have the support, not even having family around. Mm-hmm. All my family is still in Brazil, and I've been here in the U.S. for 14 years now.
Right.
And now I'm like completely alone with my daughter in terms of family. Mm-hmm. I have made some phenomenal friends. But nothing that I can say, oh my God, these people really pulled together and decided to, you know, support me with this business. It's really challenging, but I think that challenge also made me wiser and made me understand that there are different tribes for different needs in your life. And there's different people for different seasons, and that's okay.
Right.
And that's how... and that's how it is, and that's how life is. And you know, I think we spend so much time holding on to what we think should have, could have, would have, and who should be there for you and what they should do. By all means, that does not mean that if you have a friend, somebody that you consider a friend who is never there for you, who doesn't do anything for you and is kind of toxic, let it go. It's all right. We all survive. It's painful, but in the long run, it's better that way.
Exactly.
But I had to discover my tribe, my entrepreneurship tribe, that was not my family and my friend circle. You know, most of my friends were either from college here, or people that I met through different circumstances, people who I met on my support group for domestic violence. I could never expect those, I would never put on them to say, okay, I'm launching a business now, and all of you people, I was going to say that word, all of you people need to just step up and give me a couple $100s and so I can do this. Was not the right crew. Was not, by me, of course, I share with them, and I hope that they will support, but I don't expect them to, because that's not what they're supporting me in my life. You know what I mean? So I don't have their expectations. I have the hope, but I don't have their expectations. And that was, I think, one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, and one of the hardest was that, you know, there are different people for different seasons in your life. Some people that come and stay, and they're meant to be in your life, and others, they're meant to be at that point in your life only. Right. And that helps you grow, and then that mm-hmm. helps you move on from one stage to another. And that's okay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. So you know, that reminds me of the kind of the quote or saying, you know, people are there for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And,
yes.
you know, sometimes that is just how you have to look at life and relationships. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing bad. And there's nothing, those people aren't bad who don't stay. You know, they just were there for a specific reason to teach you a lesson. And then you're able to learn the lesson, hopefully, and move on, and I think you'll have a healthier outlook from that point.
Yes, exactly. And I think I'm sounding very philosophical, but I only had this epiphany like a few months ago.
Okay, hey.
So I struggled with it myself. I had to come to that point to understand that. And once I changed my outlook, then everything changed, and it's amazingly liberating.
Yeah.
And then you can value people for their time and what their role is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to let it go, it's so much easier. And even if it doesn't, sometimes you don't have to let it go. It's just one of those things where, you know, it fades away and then mm-hmm. everybody moves on. That is not this like breakup per se. It's just life continues, and you have those people that you say, hey, and at some point they were there helping you move furniture out of your house. And then now they are just, you know, strangers that you wave to when you, right. when you pass by. And that's okay. Like there was nothing went wrong. It's just they were meant to be in your life for that time
mm-hmm.
and for what you needed them for. So they shared their gifts with you for what you needed them for. And then that was it. And that was what that was their purpose in your life.
Absolutely.
And then you move, and then you keep those. And then, but you have to do that with a gratitude.
Yes.
You know, that's the different perspective, is that you have to be grateful and understand what the lesson is there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is always a lesson.
Always. I've just accepted that. You know, they mm-hmm. say there's life and tax, death and taxes, but there are also lessons too. And yes. and the quicker you learn that there are lessons, the better off your life will be, because you won't hold on to, like you said, those expectations of something and looking outside of yourself for that validation and that neediness or place of fulfillment. You know, it's like people are here to teach you a lesson, and they're often mirrors of you. And mm-hmm. you know, when you can accept that, and when you can see that, and when you accept them for just who they are, no changes, no expectations, then I think you find that your life is so much sweeter, you know, and you're not so much so prone to the drastic, dramatic stuff that happens,
exactly.
you know, that we see every day. And it's just like, okay, this is really not that deep, but, you know, thank yeah. them and move on.
Exactly. And with that said too, like, I don't want to make it sound like the easiest thing in the world. It's not.
Absolutely.
It's a mental work that you have to do every day. You have to literally, for me, I have to literally wake up every day and say, okay, let me take a quick recap of what happened yesterday or this mm-hmm. week.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? How am I feeling about this particular person or that person? What is the lesson? It's not
right.
something that just you turn a switch and naturally comes to you. It's an exercise that has to be done every day. And I catch myself going to that rabbit hole, and I just pull myself up and be like, no, it's there for a reason or for a season
exactly.
or for life. It's up to you to figure out which one. Let it run its course.
Excellent.
It's not in your control.
Right.
Just
fantastic.
Be grateful for what happened and see where it takes you.
Yes. Fantastic. I think even though we were talking about, you know, single moms in business, I think what we've been discussing is really core to how to get to that place of moving beyond the survival into thriving, a life where you thrive, because it does start in the mind. It does start with the lessons. It does start with taking an introspective look at your life and seeing who you are, accepting that, and accepting that things change, people change, situations change, and it's okay. And as long as you get your mind together, get your mind right, then your business will be right. And
yes.
and pretty much everything else will fall into place. Again, not without challenges.
Yes. But you learn to navigate them. I think that's
right.
the idea of it. And I think for single moms, especially moms who are either going through divorce, or that was not their choice, mm-hmm. or through an abusive relationship, I think the first instinct that we have is that we want to be rescued.
Right.
Even if we don't admit to it, we do want to be rescued. And we do want to lean into that person or any person. For me, it was literally any person. I didn't care if it was Joe walking down the street. If he said he wanted to help me, I was ready to grab him by the shirt and say, do it now.
Right.
And we're going to be friends forever. I promise you, even if you hate me after today, but we are going to be friends forever.
Right.
And that's when, you know, it took me 2 years. It took me 2 years to get to this point. It wasn't something I knew it, that that was what it was I needed to do. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how to do it. Now that I learned to validate my feelings and validate my emotions and understand that I have to do things one step at a time and still work on my business, still keep working and thriving, and then doing this mental work with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's especially for single parents. And if you, our first instinct is to not only get for help, but scream for help, but to also find blame.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's nobody to watch my kids today. And I've done everything for everybody. And all I need to do is 1 hour to get this website that you know is not going to take you 1 hour because most likely it's going to crash because you're going to do something to the code that you're not supposed to do it. But you're not even thinking about what you're doing. You just want to fix something that you don't have a clue how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take you 3 days. And no, nobody's going to watch your kids for 3 days.
Right.
Not even for an hour. So good luck with that. You know, so it needs to be here. It needs to be here. And you need to make that conscious decision to want to be better. You know, I read a quote once. I don't remember who it was from, but it said, no, in life you can choose when things get hard. You can choose to be bitter or you can choose to be better.
Absolutely.
And then the rest of your life is the outcome of that choice.
Mm-hmm.
I just chose to be better.
Yes. I love it. You are such an inspiration, Mariana. I appreciate it.
I feel so wise now.
Yes. I mean, but and that's what life experience will teach you and bring you to, you know, and believe me, everything that you're talking about is all the things that I've been through and the place that I am right now. Has been through that because of that process, that thought process. And, you know, I find that a lot of single parents, single moms will try to escape this process, but until you're willing to go through it and really give yourself that space and time to do it, it's painful, it's hard, there's some tough lessons to learn. But when you allow yourself to go through that process, it may take 2 years. It may take 20 years. Hopefully not 20. Maybe
hopefully
more.
Hopefully
not. You know. But when you give yourself that space to do that and you take full responsibility, then I think your life is much better. You can make that conscious decision for it to be better instead of bitter. So
Exactly. And you know, it's funny because I think that's the biggest problem that I saw with myself and I see with other women is that we try to hide it, to run away from it and to avoid it. And then we think by avoiding it, we are doing the work. It's like, no. Put in your mind that the quicker you actually do it, the quicker it will be over.
Yes.
Don't hold on to that shit. Don't hold on to it.
Just rip the Band-Aid
it's
off.
It's toxic. Exactly. It's toxic. It's bad for you. Is not going to lead to anywhere good. Nothing good is going to come out of holding on to it. Let it go. It's okay to feel however you're feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. It's okay for you to feel angry and upset and lost. It's okay for you to feel like you want to choke your ex-husband. It's okay to feel like, you know, you just want to end it all. It's those feelings are okay. They are valid. But what is not okay, what makes it damaging is one, if you act on those things wrongly, or if you hold on to it and suppress it, those to the point where it's going to explode and then you're going to have a bigger problem in your hands and your kids cannot afford to have mom go through bigger problems, especially with mental health.
Exactly.
You cannot be a present, all there, all the mother that you can be if your mind is not in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that this is also a part of, and this comes to my next question about self-care. I know sometimes it's hard to do self-care, but I think even going through this process that we've just been discussing, where you do the introspection and the self-discovery and the acceptance of, hey, this is the situation I'm in right now. I think that's part of the self-care that we have to give ourselves. It's not always about, you know, a massage or a manicure or whatever, but it's often about your mental health, like we touched on before. Mm-hmm. So do you see your process as part of your self-care? And maybe looking back, yes, but what did you typically see as self-care and did you implement it in your life?
Yes, absolutely. Self-care for me started with taking care of my mind because I feel like sometimes when I try to do something like go get my hair done or go to get my nails done, you know, that process, once that was over, I didn't really have this feeling of or sense of what was I doing it for,
right,
or for who. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I start taking care of my mind that then I looked forward to do those things. I kind of gave myself permission mm-hmm. to go and spend $300 in the hair salon if I want to. It's my their money. I can do whatever I want. You know, it's if that's going to make me feel better and look better, if this is going to take me, if a $3, it sounds vain, but I think it's definitely part of self-care. If going to a salon right now and spending $250 to get my hair to where I feel like I can think over the world and the next day I can walk into a meeting and close a deal, mm-hmm. that is going to make me 3 times more money than that, then baby, it was worth it.
Right.
It was absolutely worth it. Okay. And you don't get, you know, I think that you need to become more confident within yourself mm-hmm. and self-care plays a big role in that. But before I did the mental work, you know, I had this feeling of, well, as soon as I got out of the salon, I was feeling great. But then the next day I woke up and I was still pretty shitty and with gray hair, but there was nothing else there. I was still, you know,
right,
feeling bad with good hair. So I felt bad, but at least I look good doing it. Mm-hmm. So walking to a meeting or meeting other people, I was bringing the same bad baggage with me, but with cute hair.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't change the outcome of things.
Sure.
So where the difference now is I do it, I feel good about myself, and it's a long-lasting feeling. And you really feel like you're in control and you're doing things out of conscious choices to make mm-hmm. for yourself.
Right.
To make yourself feel good. So like yesterday was my birthday. I got my nails done. Fine. Yeah. You know.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So you and your daughter are close, right?
She was my birthday present. We're only 5 days apart.
Wow, cool. Yeah.
So, you know, now it feels like I'm doing from me.
Right.
But the things that I do is just basically it. Like I'll get my hair done. Last week I had to go to the mall to get a new jacket. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped at the MAC store and I'm like, oh, I saw you have complimentary makeup. Uh-huh. Something. And then I walk out of there and I was like, oh, are you doing something special tonight because you're so dressed up? And I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm going to go out to dinner and I'm going to meet all these people. And she's like, oh, great. Get dressed and get ready and come back here and tell me how it went. And I left the store and I was laughing so hard because I'm like, I'm not doing no dinner with nobody. That's just like my fantasy.
Right.
I want to just tell you that I'm going to get my eyes done so I can go home feeling good about myself. you throw a little something in there. You can play the fantasy. It's okay.
Absolutely.
You can definitely play the fantasy. And you're manifesting that in the process. So
absolutely.
Someday I'm going to have my own makeup artist from MAC that's just going to come and do my eyes and my glamour makeup while I'm working. So it's all part of the manifestation while you're taking care of yourself.
Absolutely. Well, awesome. So tell me, where can people connect with your product or service? You know, how can they buy from you?
Mm-hmm. So I now have an online store for women's clothing and accessories. Mm-hmm. It's called VogueMyCloset.com. We are also on Facebook and Instagram, so you can find us there. And tonight is our biggest grand relaunch of the site. And then at the end of this week, we are also launching MavenlyKids.com, which is the store that I'm opening with my daughter. So she does a lot of the the buying, which is kind of cute and interesting. But I let her be a full part of the process, especially buying and picking the outfits and everything from the manufacturer directly. So she's very hands-on on that process. Because I think if I'm going to sell for kids, then what my biggest frustration as a mother is to buy something that I think is adorable. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And I think it's so awesome. And I come home and she looks at me and says, I'm never going to wear that.
Right.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. She's like, I hate it. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to wear that. I wish you got the other one. And the other one that you like, this thing is hideous. And she's like, that's the one that I like.
Right.
So I kind of want her to be like part of this process with the website, with the store, because, mm-hmm. you know, if there's something that she really likes, then chances are that all the 7-year-olds like too.
Right.
I can get that input from her. Then we are also going to be relaunching our profiles on Facebook and Instagram with Mavenly Kids.
Awesome.
Okay. And then inspired by being a single mom and being, you know, teaching kids to be more independent and her seeing what I'm doing all the time with business. And I bring her to so many networking events and classes that she could be have a PhD by the time she's 15.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. But that's a side benefit of being a single parent and raising kids who are so involved in your life, because they pick up a lot of good stuff, you know.
Yeah. So she wanted to do a lemonade stand this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my background is in marketing and theater, visual arts, and TV production. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I couldn't just simply have a little lemonade stand. So at that point, we were like, oh, let's get a bottle. Let's create labels. Let's do a logo.
Of course.
We pretty much went into full business mode this summer. Instead of sending her to camp, when I crunched the numbers, and I'm like, well, I can send her to camp for $400, or mm-hmm. I can have her make $400, and then we can work together.
Right.
And then I can teach her how things work. So okay. What I did is that I pretty much set up a little lemonade company. I'll get mm-hmm. a bottle for you. Mm-hmm. Those impromptu television moments. So we created.
Oh my. Lemonade. Maven.
Yep.
That is awesome.
And we got the bottles. Mm-hmm. And so what we do to make our life easier is that we make the lemonades at home. She came up with some kind of crazy recipe. Nothing crazy. It's just one extra ingredients, extra sugar.
Right.
What it was. So I tried to make it more natural and use honey instead of more sugar. But then we make the lemonade. She bottles everything. And then we can travel. So we did a lot of traveling in Massachusetts through mm-hmm. different towns, selling lemonades at different events nice. For her to see it. So I had her do everything. She had her mini boss t-shirt. It's adorable.
Oh.
And then I set up a table and she's there the whole time. And my goal was to get her, she was transitioning from kindergarten to first grade and summers were long. So I didn't know what my idea was, that then we could work together with reading, writing, and math.
Yes.
And science at the same time while she made money, instead of me paying $400 to send her somewhere. And right. somebody get that money. So she has to help with measurements. So we go through mm-hmm. measurements. She has to write down the ingredients. She has to write down our goal sheet. And how many bottles did we make? And was it, you know, regular or sparkling? And how mm-hmm. many bottles we sold that day? And then as we are doing the events, she has to handle all the money transactions. Wow. So she had to learn how to give change, which she was not a big fan of. She said she after the summer was over, she said she hated $5 bills. Because the lemonade we sell for $2. So we saw a lot of people giving us $5 bills and she had to give back $3. And she's like, I don't understand why I'm giving people all my money. Like when they give me $5 bill, I do not like this. So she officially said she would never take a $5 bill.
Oh.
If you guys want to buy lemonade, pay with a $10 bill, be better. Or have the right change, because she said she hates $5 bills now.
or next, maybe she'll think about selling it 2 for $5 so she can,
exactly.
She can keep the $5.
That's a better business idea.
Right.
No. And, you know, and things kind of got a little bit out of control, and we had proposals from smaller angel investors who wanted to do and take on this, and I'm like, no.
Right.
I can't do it. I literally just set up a little company for her to do what she wanted to do and get to experience and get a first hand on entrepreneurship and business development. And you know, that as a kid, she can do it. There's no age. Don't wait until you're my age to start doing these things. No, I'm going through the hurdle. Let's start you up early. She made her money. And then I brought her to go and open a bank account. So she had to be a part of the entire process.
Right.
To do that. So then the idea, maybe next year, what we'll do is just expand that into do like a kid franchising type of thing where we can create those with other parents and
who knows. That's awesome. Yeah. That's great. I mean, and all the lessons inside of that whole process is wonderful. Because one part of it for me is teaching parents how to teach their kids about money, and money management and the value of money, you know, because it's so important because you're not learning it in school really, you know, so we have to be the ones to teach them and to set them up for success. And I think you've done a fantastic job of that.
Thank you. Yes, we try. So that is like back to the first question. That's when, you know, there's no balance. There's integration. There is no, how do you do it? I don't know. I wake up every day is different. You have the to-do list and you make it work.
Right.
You make it work. And some days it's happy and you're smiling ear to ear and you feel like you won this one. And the next day you are crying yourself to sleep, hoping that the kid don't see you. And it's just how it is. And,
right.
You know, you keep going. And that's the beauty of life for me. That's what I learned to appreciate now. Is that, you know, there is always something good. There is never growth that comes when things are going too good.
Mm-hmm.
Growth always comes when you're pushed to make changes, when you are pushed to do something different or to face something that is blocking you. And that's when it hurts.
Absolutely.
That's when you're crying at night to sleep and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to come. It's going to, that breakthrough. So I learned to appreciate those moments. And sometimes I talk to my mother. I'm like, no, I start to like when things kind of go bad. And, you know, I know it was kind of, it sounds weird. I'm not crazy, so don't have to worry. But because I know that it's going bad because there is a lesson there.
Yes.
There is a code that I need to crack for the next big thing. And then there's a step above from where I am. So it sucks to go through it, but it's exciting to know that I'm going through it for a purpose.
Absolutely.
And I got to figure out what it is. So it's kind of like playing this weird matrix of life, but understanding what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Mariana, I have enjoyed, really, really enjoyed talking with you and getting these nuggets of wisdom from you and the lessons you've learned. And the last question I have for you is, what legacy do you want to leave your child?
I think beyond self-sufficiency and being independent, I think the biggest legacy I can give her is to learn to be kind, kind to herself, kind to others. Everybody's fighting a battle that we know nothing about. And I know, again, it's a cliche that it's so real. It's so real. The person who is smiling today might not be smiling when they get home. Everybody's with their shields up and everybody's ready to fight pretty much for themselves. So just kindness.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest legacy, you know, if you have more, help others. I think it's our moral obligation to help the ones that need us. And whether that's gonna be giving a dollar bill to a homeless guy down the street, or to stand up for your friends when they need you, to doing what you think is the right thing, helping other people, whatever that is, that, you know, just do it. Just be kind to others, but remember to be kind to yourself.
Absolutely.
you know, because you can't pour from an empty cup, right? So you can give all the kindness in the world and then beat yourself up. That doesn't work.
Absolutely.
But everything else comes after that. And if one day you lose it all the financial that you build and everything mm-hmm. is gone, you have kindness at the end of the day. And that's my hope. That's the legacy I want to leave for her and her children, is that, you know, you can always make it again. I believe that financially, you can always do it over. You can always change. There is always an option.
Yes.
But to be a good person and to be kind to others, the next day might not come to that person.
Right.
You know, so that has to be a constant. That has to remain with you, whether you have or you don't have whatever it is that you think you need.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Mariana, for being on the Rich Single Mama TV show. It's been a wonderful time speaking with you and meeting your daughter and learning all about you guys. So you have a great...
We have cheese bread now. Yay!
I'm sure they'll be delicious. You have to let me know how they turned out.
Hopefully it'll be good.
Yes. And tell us your website again for both the Vogue My Closet and for your Mavenly Kids.
Okay. It's VogueMyCloset.com and MavenlyKids.com.
Excellent. All right.
And the name of my children's book is The Adventures of Xander. You can find there on Amazon.
Okay.
And Barnes & Noble's online.
Okay. The Adventures of Xander?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you again for being a part of Rich Single Mama TV.
You thank are you also. For having me.
And you have a great evening, okay?
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.